We're in the book of Genesis, of course, and we're in the 17th chapter of Genesis.
When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you, and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep, between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring. Both he and he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. And God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 99 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. God said, No, but Sarah your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Yitzchak. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Yitzchak, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. When he had finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. Then Abraham took Ishmael's son and all those born in his house and bought with his money every male among the men of Abraham's house, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael's son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very day Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised, and all the men of his house, those born in the house, and those bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him.
Interesting chapter?
The Owie chapter.
Any other comment other than the Owie one?
Well, each of their names was given Ahav, is that how you say it? The fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet? Ahav, I can't say, I don't know if that's right or not.
Hey.
Hey, a hey.
Hey.
The letter H.
Huff, no, the hey, yeah.
And hey is grace, right?
No, it's right off the top of my head, I think it means to praise. You're glorifying God. Your hands are lifted up to God, and you're praising God. It's association with that connection rather than grace. Grace is entirely different terminology with God. But, yeah, I understand what you're saying.
I have a question about the need for money to buy the men of the house.
What about it?
I mean, verse 23, they needed to be redeemed first before that they could be circumcised?
No, that's later on in the Torah. Right now, Abraham has already bought them.
But verse 23 says that he bought them.
Yeah. He bought them before.
Oh.
He brought them from his other land. He didn't come by himself, his wife. He took everything with him, including his cattle, his household, his men servants and maid servants that he had when he was in the land of Ur. He left nothing behind. He had to leave his father's house. When he left his father's house, he had to take everything with him. And the scripture says he took everything with him. I'm sorry, what?
How old was he?
At 75 at this particular point in time.
When he left his father.
When he left his father, yeah. Any other comments? Any other thoughts?
I'm just noticing the contrast here, the difference between Ishmael and Isaac, the promise that Ishmael is going to be multiplied exceedingly as well, and he's going to become a great nation.
Right.
You know, just at this point, looking at the difference, they're both going to be great, so the contrast would be interesting.
Well, he already promised that to Ishmael's mother while she was still pregnant. So basically, we'll get to Abraham and Ishmael in just a little bit. Go ahead.
I was just thinking, it's interesting to me that the circumcision, it's something that the parents are required to do. But, it is.
Yeah, probably.
It is. I mean, the mandate's for the parents to do it to their son.
Yeah.
But the son is the one that gets cut off from his people if it didn't happen.
Well, we'll talk about that.
It's interesting.
Interesting. But that's not really necessarily what it's really saying, because it had to do with another issue. He was at this point in time, even his slaves had to be, or slaves, I hate to use that terminology, because we think of American slaves, but his servants, men servants, had to be circumcised as well. And if they weren't, they're cut off. Later on in history, we'll talk about that later on, because remember when they came out of Egypt? For 40 years, there was no circumcision. So we have to be careful how we're wording this thing when God says don't circumcise them for 40 years, okay? And the ones that were circumcised died. Yes.
So how, these are the Ishmael's clan. How does that look for us today, who they are? They're blessed. I mean, what about their religion? What's that mean? If God called Ishmael, those are his people, and you know the Ishmaelites have the belief of Allah, right? Where are they? So how God is recognizing that? I mean, they're religious people. Not all of them are terrorists, right?
Well, that's a problem with religious people. They are religious, and that's a problem. Religion is everything man-made.
Okay, so that's who they are.
So yeah, if man-made, I mean, all bluntly, when someone says I'm a religious person, I mean they made up a religion. God is not a religious person. All right? Yeshua was not a religious priest. He wasn't a religious man. Who was he? He was the Son of God. And God's not a religious God. He's God. Right? So we have this confusion when there's so many different religions in the world. And even the Messianic is considered a religion. And, you know, however one wants to look at it and determine it. And you can interpret it any way you want. I just messed up my papers here. How did I mess up my papers here? Simple. Okay. First of all, I have some questions for you. Are you ready for the answer? Can you go first? I'm going to ask a question. Yeah, write it down. Make sure you get the question. No. It's right there in your Bible. It's all right there. Open book. Open Bible. Open Bible test. Yeah. When Abram was 99 years old, Yahshua appeared to Abram and said to him, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. And I'll make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Wait a minute. Didn't you already have that covenant? Didn't you make it way back there in the 12th chapter? This, what's different between this one and the 12th one? Do you remember? You don't remember. You haven't answered the question. That's the question. I gave you a question. You have an answer. Yeah, what was the blessing? That in the 12th chapter. What was it? Turn to the 12th chapter. I mean, you'll find it. I hope. You found it yet? Keep reading.
I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. And thee shall all families of the earth be blessed.
Oh. Isn't that exactly the very same one he said here in the 17th chapter? Yes or no? Oh, what's different about it? The land. Okay. Oh, that's right. But he said the first verse there in Genesis 12. Now Yahuwah said unto Abram, get out of the country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land I will show you.
So the first he should take him on a trip, right? Show him, right? Is that what you mean?
Now, you remember the guy named, see, he was an apostle. Right up, what's his name? It starts with a P. Paul, yeah. I had to straighten it out. And he went back to the 12th chapter here, and he said something. And it was, and all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. How? I'll bless you, and I will curse those. Let's backtrack here, verse 2. Oh, what's going on? I'll make a great nation, I'll bless you, what did Apostle Paul get out of this one? Let me ask you a question again. Is Abram a blessing?
Yes.
Oh, well, how?
He shows what faith is.
Okay.
He believed God.
He believed God. Okay. Now, that wasn't given to him as righteousness until the 15th chapter. You forgot that, didn't you? Open book. It says, because Abram believed God, God counted him as righteous in the 15th chapter. You remember that? 12th chapter was just a covenant. This is what I'm going to do. And we say, well, Abraham believed and left. Well, yeah, it's true. Why did he go through wars? Why did he have that problem with his nephew? What was God doing?
Testing
him, strengthening him. To do what? Or? Sorry, what? Put his hand up. Okay, that was during the war. After the war, actually.
Trust and obey.
Okay, let's go back to verse 1 here, 17th chapter, for a moment. We'll see something, I hope. We don't have it up here, do we? Now, here, God showed up to him when he's 99 years old. So he's 24 years into the land. He already said, by the way, get on top of the mountain, look around. All this is yours as far as your eyes can see. But he didn't own it. It wasn't his yet. Didn't belong to him. Yet. Okay? So now we're at this point. And he said, what did Yahuwah appear to him? What did he say when he appeared to him? 17th chapter. Yes.
It's the difference of the fact that in 12,
he's talking about a family, but in 17, he's talking about a nation which is bigger than a family.
We will get there. It's bigger than Abraham. The bigger than his physical flesh and blood family. This is what this chapter is all about. Or one of the things. But what did he say here in the first verse? What was the words? What? He said, Ani El Shaddai. Why would he introduce himself as God Shaddai? Why didn't he just introduce himself? By the way, you know, I'm Yahweh. I'm Yahuwah. He didn't. He used to say, I am. Now, he identified himself. The first thing we show up here is this word Shaddai. Why did he say that? What was he trying to tell Abram?
About who he is, his personality.
His personality.
Well,
Ellie?
Because Shaddai is the one that destroyed the earth with water. That is a bigger job than some of other gods.
So how would you, if you were Abram, and this being showed up, his name was Yahuwah, or Yahweh, you knew that. All of a sudden, he didn't call himself that. He called himself El Shaddai.
I'm just shaking in my
head. I'm the God of... I'm the God of...
Murder.
So, now, the reason you have to ask yourself is this. I had to ask myself this when I studied this some years ago. I still ask myself the same question because I have to have the same answer, right? And so, it may sound funny. But nonetheless, he said, I am the most powerful, destructive being. No one can destroy, because that's what Shaddai is talking about. The verb is the one who destroys, who wipes out, who annihilates, and has power to handle and do everything. Now, in the future, remember before this chapter, Abram went through a... Went through what?
The war.
No, the previous chapter. You remember the oath that God gave to Abram? He walked through the midst of it in the fire, right? You remember that? Okay. So now, and Abram couldn't fight it off. But, of course, God could. Okay? So he's telling Abram, at this point in time in his life, 99 years old, right? And he said, walk. Now, in Hebrew, that means to go, to walk, to come. To go with me, to walk with me, and to come with me. Those are big things, don't you think? The next thing he said, before. Now that word in Hebrew means faces. You come and walk before my faces, my face. Now, what does that word mean?
Presence.
Sorry, what?
It's presence.
What? The word comes from to turn and do. So you come before me, turn and do. The verb is based on come and do. So now Abram has an assignment. Did you notice that? And then he uses a really interesting word. And be, some of your translations, as blameless. And other ones have the word perfect. Wow. What on earth is that about? Now see, that's the statement. Reason why I'm saying we need to pay attention to what the Creator of heaven is saying to Abram. If we understand what he's saying to Abram, then we may be able to understand Abram's, quote, position, end of quote, in the 17th chapter. That make sense to you so far? Okay. Now, after he said this, be blameless. What does blameless mean? Sorry, what? Clean. What else? Forgiven. Okay. What else? No, it really doesn't say forgiven. It doesn't really come up. Okay. Keep going. Oh, here she goes. She can look it up.
I'm going to cheat and get into the Strong's. The Hebrew word for blame that's translated as blameless or perfect in most people's Bibles is tamim,
yep.
Which also
tamim,
means...
plural.
It's plural. It means other translations of it is complete, sound, blameless, entire, intact, integrity, perfect, unblemished, upright, whole without blemish or without defect.
Totally upright. Totally upright. Wow. Now, when he walks before God, he must be and totally upright. Is that a big assignment? Yeah, it sure is. Wow. Did you notice that before? Because this is he said, you must. And the next statement he says, by the way, I'm going to make a covenant with you. No, wait. I have to be, what? A righteous person? Yeah. You have to be what? You have to be upright, decent, and basically, in other words, you have to have integrity high above your own. That's big, isn't it? Now, so now we look at Abram, and we're saying, okay, God, you called him out at the age of 75, and then you went and you blessed him and on the war. He got that. And he said, well, because he believed me, trust me, now I call him righteous. Now we're at the next level, aren't we? Do you see how pattern God works with you and me and everybody else? One thing to be called, it's another thing to be chosen, and another thing to be selected. And there is a selection. And so here we see a pattern where Abram now is being selected. What is he being selected for? Remember, this is the covenant. This is not like the first one in 12. This is so different that you begin to say, okay, the same word, he just reworded it, right? And he said, see, where's my page? Where am I at? Just lost it. Yeah, she went to the thing, made me complete. Glad you did that. Basically, also the word perfect or the word blessed means, in another way, is to be totally, entirely sound. Sound. Yes.
He picked Abraham to be the dad of all of this huge family.
Oh, how did you get that?
As it says.
Where'd you get that from?
Verse 5.
Verse 5?
Are we there yet?
Oh, I must have missed that one. Oh, my.
Father of many nations.
He said, we get to verse 5 here, okay. What did Abram do after verse 2? Fell on his face. Why? Wait. Why would he fall on his face? Oh, had nothing else to do?
Show respect and love.
Who was there in his presence. El Shaddai.
Get on your knees.
Terrifying, frightening, all-powerful, almighty, with tremendous amount of destruction. Wow. You think you could stand before God and say, oh, I'm going to bow my knees and thank you? No. He fell down because he was terrified and afraid. He'd been afraid before. Remember previously in the chapter? He said, Abraham, do not be afraid. Abraham was afraid. He said, don't be afraid, Abraham. I'm here to tell you what's going to happen to your descendants. Of course, in Abraham's mind, it was, whose descendants was it going to be? Ishmael's. Ishmael's descendant, because that's his son, right? And he said, now verse 4, it says, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and it shall be, and you shall be, what? A father of many nations or peoples. No longer. Your name will be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I made you a father of many. Now this is the covenant, he said, I'm making with you. Did you notice this is the covenant? It's not like the one in verse 12. I mean, chapter 12, because he's talking to Abram. Wasn't like the 115, he's talking to Abram. Now, he's changed and says, I am going to make a covenant with you, and I'm going to multiply you exceedingly. So, from this point on, you're no longer going to be called Abram. You're going to be called Abraham, or Abraham. All right. Verse 5, no longer shall you be called that, right? So what is this covenant about? It's the covenant is about what? It's about him being a father of many. What did the Apostle Paul think? What was the Apostle Paul's statement? Well, you had a question?
No, a comment about the nations, because St. Paul says there's neither Jew nor Greek, for all are one in Christ Jesus, or in, I don't know the exact verse.
I understand that. Yes, Ellie.
Also says in Galatians 3:5, God justifies the nations by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations will be blessed, so those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham.
Right. Now, am I a son of Abraham? Really? How am I a son of Abraham?
By the adoption.
Because of what?
Adoption.
No, he didn't adopt me. He did not adopt me at all. I'm still unadopted in the relationship to Abraham. Yes.
And Yeshua said, if you were Abraham's son, you would do what he did.
What did Abraham do? He believed God. He trusted God. He lived his whole life based upon what God was thinking, what God was saying. So, and because of what I believe El Shaddai. I believe Yahuwah. I believe the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I believe he's telling me the truth. I trust in him, and I hope that I don't fail him, just like Abraham here fell in his face. Hard road, yes. Anything new in the sun? No. I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. Do you think he's saying that to one man? Abram? Or to the sons of Abraham? This is for you. This is for me. This is for us. What are we supposed to do here? I am El Shaddai. Now, when we translate that in English, we translate it as the Almighty. You know what it meant in 1611? Didn't mean he's, oh, almighty, oh, almighty God, almighty. We rattle that off like, you know, it's almost like a slang word sometimes. We use the terminology, we use the thing, the almighty dollar, right? How powerful is the dollar bill? It's so powerful, they steal it from you. No, I mean, they take it from you. No, I'm just being smart, of course. The dollar could, if you had money, if you could do things, that's true. But is it lasting? No. Yes, Daniel.
Think on the McDonald's dollar menu. It's worth about, you know, a half a meal.
All right. And so he comes on here and he said, now verse 6, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. Oh yeah, David and Solomon and Rehoboam, all them, yeah, okay. They're all listed in the Bible, right? What does king mean? That's the word for Melech. What are kings supposed to do? No. What are kings supposed to... It's the same word for angel. They are to give a message. They're supposed to give a message. That's what a Melech does. He gives messages. From whom? From God. Now, if that king does not give, or ruler does not give, that message from God, we have kings and first and second kings, and God was not pleased, God was not pleased, God was not pleased with that particular king. Why? Well, he didn't walk in something. He didn't do what Abram had to do. You understand what I'm saying? So where does that put you? Do you understand? This is not just for Abram. It is for his children as well. And if you are believing God, that statement is for you as much as it was for Abram. You understand what I'm saying? This is how powerful the Word of God is. Now, Shaddai could be kind of a frightening word. And so here we have where God has introduced himself not in the name of Yahweh or Yahuwah or Yeshua, whatever you want to call it. He said, I am the most powerful God there is. I am going to back up my promise because I've got all the power to do so. You are a father of many. I will bring it about. I am powerful. I am the most powerful. I am the greatest, most powerful thing there is. I will fulfill this covenant. Really? How would you think Abraham felt by that point in time? Oh, good, because he couldn't do it. He was just Abram. All right, you understand what I'm saying? Because verse 6, 7, he says, I will establish. He didn't say, Abram, you must establish my covenant. What was a covenant? I will make you a father of many nations. Did Abram say, well, guess what I will do, El Shaddai? I'll become a father of many nations. I'll do that because, you know, to back up my... No, he couldn't do that, could he? He couldn't do that. So he comes through the death of the Messiah, and through him, we are blessed. Now we have to have how, we have to have strength, we have to have power. And he says, I will establish my covenant between you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting one to be Elohim to you and to be Elohim unto your descendants after you. I'm going to be the God of you now. I'm going to be the God of your descendants. Is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob your God? Yes or no? So therefore, you are the descendants of Abraham. His name has already been changed here, right? Who wrote the covenant? God. Who's doing the job? God. Verse 8. And I also give to you and your descendants after you the land which you are a stranger. He hasn't given it to him yet. Remember, his theory is 24 years still there in the land. Not been given to him yet, although he promised it earlier. It's not been given to him yet. Disappointed, right? And he said, I will be their Elohim. Why? Because of you, I can make you their father. I'm going to make you their father. In Hebrew, what does the father refer to? The one that begins something. We have a president of the United States who's called the father of our country. Now, did he actually reproduce our country? Did it come from him? Well, yes, it did. Without Washington doing what he did, we would not be where we're at. We would not have a country that had raised up to such great admiration. And so he called him the father of our country. That is our government, how we run things, how people are. We've had, you know, the father of steel, Carnegie. We had the father of oil, Rockefeller. We had the father of bank, Chase Manhattan. The ones that established these states are the ones that have begun something. And we follow behind them. We picked up their pieces and we get blessed by what they do. And so the very same thing that when God uses the word father, by the way, he is our father, right? And so he establishes, he began something with us, and we are going to fulfill his will because that's what he says. Okay, let's get back down now about circumcision. Why did God bring forth circumcision at this point? Why didn't he do it when he was 75? Why didn't he do it when he was 80? What?
Well, I was just thinking of the physical aspect of him being circumcised because he would later use the physical to introduce the spiritual, which would be circumcision of the heart.
Because the circumcision didn't come until this covenant was made. This is a circumcision is a symbol of this covenant.
Of this covenant! Father of many! The circumcision has nothing to do, excuse me, you're going to be mad at me, has nothing to do with Moses, has nothing to do with that at all. Apostle Paul says it was long before that happened. What's the purpose of circumcision? For this covenant. It's not because to prove I'm a Jew, or I believe in God, or I'm a Christian, or I'm a whatever you want to call it. It's because of Abraham. Because of him. When you are circumcised, or someone gets circumcised, it should be because of what? Abraham being the father. Right? Father of those who believe. El Shaddai. Father of those who believe. Yes.
My question here, I know they've already had dialogue. There's a promise that already went forth. But when 17 kids, when he introduced Yeshua, God, I am the deluger. I am the Almighty. I am El Shaddai. Was it that first revelation, he hits his face on the ground, wow, wait,
right.
You're the one.
Right.
I mean, just at a grander scale. That wasn't like it was before, but now it's like, whoa, wait a minute. It was this trust, this faith, this obedience, this being slain, if you will, on the floor with that revelation that really connects that covenant, that aspect of the covenant.
I don't know how long he stayed on the face. I think God talked with him again. Right, yes, I understand what you're saying.
But that immediate check in his heart, oh my goodness, you know, this is who you are.
But he met him before he didn't fall down. This time he did.
Right.
So it's, because God came through with a tremendous amount of power. He came through with a tremendous amount of power. Now, remember, he was the one that destroyed the world. How can you get past that one? How can you get past that one? You can't. And he had him done on the eighth day. Why not the first day? For a child, a male boy. Why not done on the 20th day? I know, medical thing about something like vitamin K or whatever it is. Is that really what the issue is about? Why the 8th day? Why it's so important? Why couldn't he do it on the 7th day? It was Sabbath. No. Why couldn't he do it on the 7th day? What?
It's a new start.
Ah, a new start. A new start. It's always there in the very beginning. Even though there was no 8th day, because that happened during Moses' time, but a child is on the 4th day. Whether you're bought with money or you're not bought with money, you're a stranger, you live with, you're under his jurisdiction, everybody in that place would be circumcised. Because they, now they are the property of Abram. So Abram had them all circumcised. I find it very fascinating, you know. He says here in verse 17, the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people, and he has broken my covenant. Which one did he break? Did he break the first one? Second one? The 8th one? 20th one? Which covenant did he break? I don't want to be the son of Abram. Thus the covenant is broken. Now, what did the Apostle Paul say? I find it very fascinating because it's, we find him, and he says, what is this covenant all about? What is circumcision really all about? We know what it's all about now, but I hope it's about this covenant. So I'll repeat myself again. Circumcision has to do with this covenant in the 17th chapter. Has nothing to do with salvation. Sorry. Has nothing to do with Mount Sinai. Sorry. It has nothing to do, sorry, with the new covenant. Sorry, it's not there. It's not there. It's with Abram. And with Abraham. You understand what I'm saying so far? We have to center in on why God did it to Abram. And he became the father of those who believe. He is the beginning of those who've been to believe. That's the foundation. Okay? And there's something else very fascinating. This covenant was that he was going to also multiply him exceedingly, had with many nations. And I'll tell you something here. This is how I kind of view things, okay? When we focus in on this covenant, our connection with Abram, as the Apostle Paul stated, becomes connected with El Shaddai. El Shaddai. We come connected with the most powerful God there is. We are connected there. Why should we be afraid? Why should there be fear within us? If we are not connected, we have something to be afraid of. And here where he comes in. The Apostle Paul made a statement. It's in the book of Romans. I think it's the 3rd chapter. It tells us that when one is circumcised in the flesh, but does not establish this covenant, is as though he is uncircumcised. Do you understand what he was saying in the 3rd chapter of Romans? If you are a circumcised person and you don't establish this covenant, what does God say? Cut him off. That's powerful, isn't it? What about the person that was already uncircumcised? What did Apostle Paul say there? If there is one who is uncircumcised and establishes this covenant, what covenant? Covenant of circumcision or the covenant of uncircumcision? The covenant of what? Abraham is my dad. Oh. Yeah, you're one of mine now. You made connected with me, the creator of heaven and earth. You have refused to do this. It's the third. I can't remember exactly what verse is the 3rd chapter. Probably the 4th chapter also of Romans. But you understand what I'm saying? Because Apostle Paul says, you are as if you are uncircumcised. What does the Word of God say? If you're uncircumcised, you're cut off. Well, they talk about the flesh. Why, yes, of course. Of course. He was talking about the flesh. Abraham, we had to do with Abraham. Everything about the flesh. If you're not, if you're not circumcised, guess what? You're cut off. Right? That's not what Apostle Paul said. And God for 40 years told the people of flesh and blood of the descendants of man named Abraham himself, do not get circumcised for 40 years. Were they cut off? No. Who was cut off? Their parents. Their parents were cut off. He cut them off. Right? Yes or no? All right, we get into this thing. So we say, what is God thinking? What is God saying? What does God want us to do? What does God have a picture here in the 17th? It makes no sense. Circumcision of the flesh makes no sense. There's no rhyme or reason for it. Except it's connected to this covenant. And Abraham did it on the very same day. Find that fascinating. 99 years old. Of course, you know he wanted. He believed God. He says, oh, what about Ishmael? You know God's response was? Yes.
You know, they were saying, I was reading while I was looking up for this, that they circumcised for uncleanness, but it couldn't be because at 99, he'd already spent 99 years uncircumcised, right? It was a form of
cleanliness. So circumcision had nothing to do with faith.
So it had nothing to do.
Circumcision has nothing to do with believing God. Circumcision has nothing to do with trusting God. Circumcision has no relationship whatsoever with you and God. What is the relationship? Believing God. But this one has the believing something else. Believing that Abram is connected to you. And you are connected to Abram. Yes.
Okay. Can that be brought forward in the sense that in this last 200 years, there have been families with Abrahamic lineage that have stopped that religious connection to God and had children and had a son and or a grandson that went totally atheistic and against God? Wouldn't that fit in the...
to this covenant? Yes.
The rejection of... is the rejection of this covenant.
Now, what did he say in the very first promise? I will curse those who consider you unimportant and insignificant. What's he talking to? A bunch of goyims? A bunch of atheists? Talking to any, especially his family. And what happens is, that took place, didn't it? When you reject this covenant and do not establish it by doing what God says to do, believe God, trust me, you are connected with me. Abraham is the beginning of your faith. Really? I thought Jesus was. No, Abraham. Apostle Paul says so. We said, no. Jesus is my... No. Abraham.
Oh, wow.
You believe the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's within the scripture over and over and over again. Doesn't say the God of Jesus, the God of Jesus, the God... How many times does it say that? Maybe once or twice. And Dr. Hart never says anything like that. But talked about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Even the Messiah talked about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why is that so important? To establish. So we are connected with this establishment, should we say. We are connected with God. Verse 21. I'm over time here. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac. Remember he laughed about this. Whom Sarah shall bear to you at this Moedim. Next year. Moedim. It really means a fixed, appointed time. Abraham was 99 years old. 99 years old. He came in the promised land when he was 75. And it says, the appointed time, when? When it says the appointed time, next year. Oh. You mean the month's coming up? Yeah. What's appointed time? Wait a minute. Proverbs says there is a specific appointed time. What is that appointed time? Oh, the first day of the month? 15th day of the month? How about the 8th day of the month? How about the 10th day of the month? Are they all appointed times? Yes. What do they point to a specific time? What do they point to? One day. Points to one day. And we'll see that they keep on going down. The 14th day of the first month. That's what Isaac was all born for, to be killed on the 14th day of the first month. We're talking about the first part of this year. As we keep going into the book of Ezekiel, Exodus, we're going to find out that the very same time that Jacob entered into the promised land was precisely the very same time that the appointed time that the Israelites left out. We also find out that the exact period of time of 400 years was the exact same period of time Abraham left at 75. Okay. At the same time of the year, same season, the same point in time during the Passover time, or days with loaves of bread. We'll see that as we get into later. Is there a connection here, or just happenstance? Isaac was to be killed at a specific place, at a very specific time, a very pointed time, and he was. And God intervened and said, no, not right now. He gave a ram in place. Do you think the birth of Isaac before, that he didn't think about doing this? How deep was Abraham's trust at that point in time when we get to the killing of Isaac?
Very. He told him before he even knew God will provide his land when Isaac asked him, right?
That's not what it said.
No.
He didn't know.
Well, he didn't love it as much.
The book of Hebrews tells us he believed that when he killed his son, something else would take place. He would resurrect him from the dead.
Okay.
Wow. An appointed time. Do you not think that points to the Messiah? Everything in Isaac's life points to the Messiah. Isaac was known as the one who has the fear of God. In the Bible, it says that Jesus grew up fearing God. I wonder if that's any connection.
Just trying to clarify. So this here in verse 21, we're suggesting it's Passover?
It wasn't Passover then. Passover was introduced later.
No, but just type in shadow what was right to be Passover.
And the reason why the old covenant, that Mount Sinai, was introduced is because of why? Why was it introduced? Why was it introduced? Because of sin. You remember? As the Apostle Paul said, because of sin, it was added. Added to what? To the promise that was given to Abraham. That you will be a father of many. Do you understand what I'm saying? Apostle Paul brings that out. Both, and I think it's in Galatians, if I'm not mistaken, and one other place. So we have a picture here. I'm going to get past this thing. So I find it very fascinating that his son, even Ishmael, was also circumcised on the very same day that God said to Abram, by the way, you are the father of many. Is there hope for Ishmael?
Yeah. Clark's commentary actually has an interesting comment about this particular verse, and it says, talking about particularly about Ishmael, but saying that had not Abraham, his son Ishmael, who was of an age to judge for himself, and all the family had been fully convinced that this thing was of God, they could not have possibly submitted to it. A rite so painful, so repugnant to every feeling of delicacy, and then it goes on from there. So, you know, it wasn't just Abraham that had to believe that God was telling him to do this circumcision. You know, Ishmael was 13, was certainly old enough to say, oh, I don't want to do that. The servants in the household were certainly old enough to say, well, why would I want to do that?
Right.
But yet, they all agreed to do it. So that shows you right there that this was a God thing, and that all of them understood that it was a God thing. Yeah. Even Ishmael understood this
Even
was a God
Ishmael
thing.
Even Ishmael understood that. Ishmael's mother understood that. Hagar. They understood it. Remember what the name Ishmael means? Man, hear, God. Then you reverse the name. God hears man. First thing first. Man, hear, God. And then you reverse it. That's why most of your translation reverse it around. That God hears man. But in literal translation, man, hear, God. And we don't know that sometimes. Here, there is hope for, I'm sorry, maybe you don't like it, but for the 12 tribes, or 12 nations of Ishmael. Because that's a promise. Do you think God's going to break that promise because they, quote, worship a different Elohim? And you say, I hope he does. Well, not with God. All it takes is God to intervene as, remember what the book of Revelation says? Almighty God comes on the scene. Fear will be striking against not only those who believe, but those who don't. And they're going to be terrified of what he can do. We have to kind of face reality here, myself anyway, that El Shaddai is right here and is a powerful name, powerful, strong, and says, I am the one that destroys. That's what the name really means. I will destroy, deal violently with, dispose of, disvaluate, ruin, destroy, and spoil. That's what his name means. Now, the book of Revelation, does it look like he will do that? Can you deny it, or can you say, oh, that's just a figment of imagination of some old man of 90 years old? He was half drunk on wine or something. Yes?
So, but it says that I will establish my covenant with Isaac.
Yes. Well, that's a promise he said. I missed that point. Because it has to do with Sarah. Now, remember, he made a covenant with Sarah as well. Did you notice that? I don't have time to go through it. Read it. He made a direct covenant with Sarah. From her will be those kings. Oh, yeah, but the sixth verse said out of you will come kings, Abram. Wait a minute. No. It says how it's going to happen, Abram. It's going to come from her. Come from her. A very important lady in the history of mankind. Personally speaking. Like Eve, one of the most important ladies in the history of mankind.